Koketso Sachane on SAFM.
It is a meeting point on SAFM. Oh, what a conversation. And there is more. We are not done in terms of the areas that we need to cover. The team, the meeting point team, specifically our producer, Lesego, shared with us early on in the week an incredible conversation, or rather a report, a piece, mapping a surge of disinformation on the African continent. And running through and reading through the report, there is so much that needs to be unpacked and be shared with regards to the impact, the role of disinformation on the African continent. And I'm very happy to welcome to the show, joining us all the way from Washington, D.C. I'm so glad that you're able to make time. That is Dr. Mark Dirksen, who is with the African Center for Strategic Studies. Dr. Mark, thank you very much for making time. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me on. It's an honor.
Well, it's afternoon for you, is it not? I think it's like 2 p.m. in D.C. right now.
Going on 4 p.m., yes.
Going on 4 p.m. Thank you very much for making time, and thank you very much for the report itself, for the work that you've done at the African Center for Strategic Studies. Before we even talk about the impact or the role of disinformation on the African continent, when we talk of disinformation, what are we talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly where we should start. And when we're talking about disinformation, we're being very specific that we're talking about the intentional spread of false and misleading information. And we're really focusing in on this report and on the kinds of disinformation campaigns we're tracking on attempts by political sponsors to really interfere and manipulate in the information that your average citizens are seeing. And we've really seen a rise in this type of manipulation, especially through digital channels and through some of these deceptive tactics and inauthentic strategies to really try and skew the information that's coming across our screens and our social media platforms.
And I'm looking forward to us unpacking a bit more, Dr. Mark, the proliferation in terms of the digital age and how that has led to the proliferation of disinformation on the African continent. I want to take a little bit of a step back, though, and in talking about disinformation on the African continent, a part of me that has great interest in the false narrative of Africa as a dark continent and the role that over the centuries, if you will, how Africa has been written off and the messages of Africa and what Africa and Africans are that has been sent to the rest of the world as part of the colonization project, would one not argue that there was an earlier form of disinformation in how Africa is written off or spoken about, or even how Africans are influenced about themselves, or those from across the world are influenced or even miseducated on what Africa or Africans are?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a long history of exactly what you're describing of propaganda about Africa, about stereotypes, about the continent, about these really historical power imbalances, about who got to tell Africa's story, about what the conversation was between Africa and the rest of the world. So I think we definitely have to acknowledge that. And I think what we're looking at in this report is kind of how, even though there are these older forms of propaganda, of discourse making that skew a perception of Africa and the continent, what we've seen over the last 10 years is there's really been a change in the ability of the people who want to put out these conspiracies, put out these false narratives, that they can now reach more people than ever before, and kind of do it in these really deceptive and inauthentic ways by setting up fake, coordinated accounts, bot armies, if you will, or posing as media outlets on Facebook or on a website, or even paying people to be kind of amplifiers of these kind of narratives. So there's this whole new toolkit that's developed with the rise of these online spaces, and really the rapid pace at which if people haven't been paying attention, like the continent has really embraced social media. There's the statistics are in 2016 there was less than 100 million people active social media users on the continent, and now we're talking about 4 or 5 times that number in just 7 or 8 years, to close to 500,000 social media users. And so, and these people, for them, at really higher rates than a lot of places in the world, are using social media to consume news, to be kind of their window into the world. And so that's really opened up these new vulnerabilities. I mean, it's opened up all these exciting possibilities, but it's also opened up something that can be exploited when there aren't the right guardrails there, when actors are willing to try and skew and manipulate those conversations that are happening online.
And I'm glad you talked about the skewing of the conversation, because even before we talk about the actual tactics, Mark, in talking about who the disinformation serves, why the disinformation in the first place, I'm remembering, what Chomsky was talking about in terms of manufacturing consent. Can we talk a bit more about what the disinformation serves?
Yes, and that's exactly where you'll see in the report for each of these nearly 200 campaigns that we document. We first talk about the key actors, the sponsors, the countries they're targeting, but then what's their objective? And we go case by case kind of through that, why they would put out these false and misleading narratives. And it's often, trying to gain influence in these places. And that can take a lot of different shapes and sizes, a lot of different forms. It can be trying to reach a small percentage of the population, like we've seen in some of the Sahel countries, and really try and incite anger against French counterterrorism operations or UN peacekeeping, or a government. And even in some of those countries where about in somewhere like Niger, where only 10 or 15% of the population is online, just by reaching people in some of the urban areas, especially young men, it can really whip up these kind of protests that we've now seen help topple governments. So that's kind of one avenue for how these campaigns work. And others, they're kind of more experimental. There's kind of been talk about for Russia and for the Wagner group that they've tried a lot of different techniques to try and use disinformation to gain influence, that the continent's kind of been a place of experimentation for them, and that they tried to inflame tensions in a place like South Africa, or polarize society, and really trying to create disillusionment with democracy, with democratic processes, because they see that as benefiting, the types of corrupt deals they want to sign, the types of resource extraction they want to do, that they don't want people knowing what's going on. So they want to put out other narratives. They want to put out, other stories that are distracting people, and having people turn their attention elsewhere through this type of disinformation.
We're in conversation with Dr. Mark Dirksen, who is with the African Center for Strategic Studies, talking about a surge of disinformation in Africa. And we can share a link to the article itself and the full report at SAFM Radio, and I'll retweet at Koketso Sachane. Who are the primary actors, Mark, when it comes to these disinformation campaigns on the African continent?
So our finding, and this is looking at the known disinformation campaigns, that disinformation tries to hide itself. So this is what we know, but from this from this documentation, 60% of the sponsors of the campaigns were external to Africa. They're foreign countries. So that includes China, that includes some of the Gulf states like the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and then the primary sponsor we've already alluded to is Russian linked actors account for about 40% of these campaigns targeting the continent and have really become a mainstay of how Putin and Moscow try and seed influence on the continent and try and in a lot of places it's trying to be disruptive. It's trying to destabilize, to create chaos in which the Russia's mercenary groups like Wagner that they really thrive, and then they can go in and kind of bring their toolkit of state capture, of signing resource mineral deals, of bringing in mercenaries. So that's those are but those are the big sponsors. But we've also seen increasingly domestic sponsors, especially some of the military juntas who have seemed to kind of adopt the Russian playbook. In some of the more autocratic countries, where disinformation's been seen as and used as a tool for kind of insulating the ruling regime.
What I find interesting about the report, of course, one knows of, there is the call it the stepping in of Russia and your Wagner group. What I find interesting with the report, and I'm wondering if at all this came up. One also knows, Mark, especially if you're going to talk about what's happening in the Sahel. With Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, that particular part of the continent, historically, the role of the French as a colonizing force, but also as part of the story of disinformation. And then, of course, one cannot also ignore the role of the US globally, let alone on the African continent. So, is there no disinformation campaigns happening on the part of Western powers in Africa, even in response to the disinformation campaign by Russia and China in part?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think it's really important to distinguish between what we're talking about in terms of these really unfair practices of spreading and seeding disinformation that involve trying to obscure its origins, of trying to launder it through intermediaries secretively, of trying to use these deceptive tactics, this coordinated inauthentic behavior as social media platforms describe it. And then distinguishing that through normal state kind of influence practices, whether it's public diplomacy, whether it's strategic communications, whether it's strategic engagement, and the ways that diplomats will put their best foot forward. They'll try to craft their messages, their talking points. Every country now has social media accounts that its government runs and puts out its messaging on. And that's different when that's coming directly from the government, when there's transparency there, versus when in the case of some of the Chinese examples on this report, the embassy or an ambassador in Africa for China is putting something out, putting out a piece of news from Chinese state media, and then it's being amplified by an army of fake accounts that, and then they're using that to try and manipulate social media algorithms to get that into more people's feed to skew the information environment.
I'm in South Africa, and many of us, of course, listening from across the continent, noting the report and the presence of these foreign powers and influence, Mark, what do we or what do our governments do in response to what you have noted through your report?
Yeah, that's the big question. And I think that the answer is already starting to take shape. So this report draws on the research and analysis and fact-checking of over 30 African organizations. So there's really this growing chorus of African journalists, African academics, African civil society organizations that are taking the lead and calling out disinformation. They're documenting it. They're pressuring social media companies. They're putting out fact checks and they're doing digital literacy training. So all of these efforts need to be scaled up, accelerated, supported. They need to be coordinated. There needs to be more funding, more conferences, workshops. But we are seeing this, I think, in South Africa. There's a lot of really impressive organizations, whether it's Africa Check, whether it's Code for Africa, whether it's Real 411, that are putting out, you know, they're starting to become these hubs of credible information. That is kind of the model. Over time, you know, they need to, and as they're doing, build up a reputation for putting out the facts, being a resource for people. And that's really how we've seen in other contexts, whether it's, you know, in parts of Eastern Europe, in the Baltics, whether it's in South America, whether it's in Taiwan, that's kind of the model that, you know, hopefully government support, but it really has to come from the grassroots, from the community to kind of take back ownership of these information spaces.
Mark, we appreciate your time. Enjoy your afternoon in Washington, and thank you very much for what you shared with us this evening.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you very much. That is Dr. Mark Dirksen, who is a Strategic Communications Manager and Research Associate at the African Center for Strategic Studies. Read the report for yourself, a mapping of a surge in disinformation or surge of disinformation in Africa. At SAFM Radio is where you can find it.